I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breast, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey everyone, today's episode is brought to you by our incredible sponsors that help make this show happen.
The Outdoor Podcast is proudly brought to you by XOP Outdoors, Carbon Express, Block Targets, Moultrie, Gas Bowstrings, and Burris Optics. Produced by Bowhunter Planet. We thank you for tuning in and being a part of our outdoor heritage.
Grab your favorite bow, your pack, your chair, and let's get started.
Hello and welcome to the Outdoor Podcast. It's myself, Dave, tonight, along with
Tim. Yay, I'm here.
I didn't know if you were. So, guys, listen, here's the deal. Okay, before we get started, I just want to drop a couple things before we start. Number one, just want to say thank you to XOP Tree Stands, one of our big sponsors. XOP is making stands that are awesome, guys, that are like nothing you've seen before. The hydros are so amazing. You literally can do two sticks and get 16 feet with that system. It is one of the coolest systems I've seen. The Revolt is one of the coolest climbers you'll ever see. These guys are putting really high tech into this stuff.
Super great quality.
It's you just wouldn't expect it. So, do us a favor, do them a favor, and do yourself a favor and check them out when you get a minute online. I think you're going to be extremely excited about that. Also, a special shout out to Gas Bowstrings, who have been supporting us for a couple years now, actually, yep, making awesome strings. If you have not got new strings for your crossbow or bow and it's been a year or two, you definitely need to be doing that. So definitely check out Gas, put your order in today, get those going as fast as possible, because I'm telling you, it changes the world. It's going to make that bow better and stronger, as well as live longer.
And buy a second set just in case.
Buy a second set, put it in your Team BHP archery repair kit, and you'll be good to go.
Awesome.
So, Tim, what's our topics today?
You know, we are on the eve of our hunting experience for this year, right? So we get out on the weekends. That's what we do. And then we spend a week usually. This is the first weekend hunt that we're going out. And so just starting to think about, like, playing it out in my head, like, what am I actually going to do? What are my expectations? And, you know, the first decision point for me is I went to go get my licenses. I got, you know, got my regular deer license, got an extra doe tag just in case. But this year is a little bit different where we're hunting because there's a fall turkey season. And so the question now is, I got it just because. Do I shoot a turkey while I'm hunting deer? That's always kind of a debate, right? Like, so do you potentially ruin your hunt to take a turkey? Maybe you could do a turkey, a deer and a turkey.
At the same time. One shot.
Yeah. Aim high, low? I don't know.
Skip off the ground?
Right? Or that's probably what would happen to me. Yeah. Or do you not? And I think part of it is like, going to play into frustration for me. Like if I'm not seeing any deer whatsoever, right? But then all of a sudden I get some good beards out there. I think I might be really, really tempted just to take a turkey at that point.
Yeah, I would suggest we have to look at the pros and cons, okay, of this scenario. And to me, the pros are you get a turkey. That would be awesome. I personally feel fall turkey is harder than spring turkey by far. But let's look at the cons for the deer hunting part of that. Number one, you're giving away your position which is not always a great thing to do. Number two, you're going to cause a stir in the woods, which could scare any potential deer in the area away. And the sound of your bow going off. For you being a crossbow hunter, you have to recock. So it's going to be a process to get
that. Oh, for sure. I'm burning the hunt, basically, if I decide
maybe,
to shoot.
But maybe. Through. I've also seen it where I've shot a deer and another deer walks right in 20 minutes later and the deer's dead on the ground. Yeah. So I can't say that for sure it's a con, but I would suggest that the odds are it would be a con, but like maybe not. Maybe you get yourself a turkey.
A turkey.
Two. Maybe you double up that night. You
know? Yeah.
It's kind of cool. I will say this about fall turkey, in my opinion. It's extremely hard to do. I don't find, unless you're allowed to bait, which you're not allowed to bait, you know, in Michigan right now. So if you were allowed to bait, I think it'd be a lot easier because they right. would come in and start feeding probably. And I'm not sure that's legal too, to shoot them over bait. I don't know the rules, yeah. but I'm just throwing out. If you couldn't shoot them over bait, it'd be very hard. They're very moving. They move a lot. The flock just keeps moving.
Yeah, because they're not breeding right now, right? So they're not coming in
Correct. The decoys. They're not listening much. To your calls. Yeah. They didn't care less about the calls. Actually, I did put this in ChatGPT because I wanted to just see what it said about it. And it did say this, says fall hunting is for turkey. Fall hunting is often flocking behavior rather than calling in a gobbler. Hunters are often located flocks, scatter it, then call them back together because they're scattered. So it's almost like it would just be hard is all I'm saying. Yeah. It's not simple. Like now,
you I basically say, have to run across them if you're just sitting.
You have to break them
if
up.
If you're not targeting.
Yeah, turkey. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I remember 2 years ago, I was sitting in blind and I was sitting there and the biggest turkey flock. Is it called the flock? It's called the flock, right?
But the flock.
Is it a flock though? Yeah. Flocking. Okay. Sometimes they have different names for different, yeah. like ducks have it, whatever. Anyway.
Well, explained.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there and I look over and I hear all this racket in the woods, all this noise, all this stuff. And I look over and I must've counted 40 turkeys before I stopped counting.
Yeah.
And they were at a huge system, right? And they're doing all this stuff. And I'm not exaggerating. They're doing all these things. And out of nowhere, this buck walks right through my set. And I wasn't ready because I was looking at these turkeys. And I looked down. This buck walks right by me. And I couldn't do anything. It was just, I got a picture. Actually, I was taking a picture when this happened. I'm like, no, he's right there. And I'm in dire need. I can't shoot this deer. But yeah, I don't know. That's just my opinion. But I love spring turkey hunting. I love it. I have so much fun with it.
I mean, it's our first opportunity to get out in the woods really and do a hunt for the year, right? And it is the responsiveness, the excitement around a spring turkey is awesome. But I love me some wild turkey, man. And all I'm saying is that if it's early enough in the day, I might just take a shot so we can eat some turkey that night.
We'll yeah, see. I think that, we'll I mean, if you have a lot of time to hunt either way and you're going to shoot deer the next day, it's not a huge deal. Yeah. But it says the dates for Michigan are September 15th through November 14th for turkey.
A long time here.
And there's an upper and a lower. There's a couple different regions, it looks like.
There is UP and lower, basically.
Do not need to apply. So nope. That's interesting.
Unlimited over, well, I don't know about unlimited, but over the,
you may use a, over the counter. You may use a bow, crossbow, or firearm in the fall turkey season. You also might be able to use tree stands.
Love it.
So cool. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what if I would do it. I don't know. I didn't get the tag, so I definitely can't do it. But I'm saying if I went to get the tag, yeah, I have like, to see. If I felt there was turkey coming in every day, I might go buy a tag.
Yeah. I've got them on camera. That's why I did it. You know, so I'm like, yeah, I'll get one.
I see a lot of turkey right now, though, you know, like even coming back up north, I saw a huge flock of them go across the road, but they weren't like puffed up. You know, they're like very.
I think you got a lot of the juveniles, right? Because, you know, like,
yeah.
you see them in big groups like that, probably because they haven't broken up from their family group from when they, you know, hatched earlier in the year.
When do they hatch? So if they mate in spring?
In the spring. Well, spring, late spring.
Oh, okay. So,
you know, think of like a moose.
Birds, what about a goose? I don't know.
It's like a group of goose. Geese.
I want to get some chickens, like have my own chickens. I saw this guy does tunnel chicken farm tunneling. They take a cage and they roll it like this on the ground and it goes in a tube all the way around the property back to the, so that the chickens can run around the yard, but they have to stay within the fence tube. So okay. It's like, instead of just fencing,
like a little
chicken fencing. It's chicken fencing. Yeah. And it's like this. And it's like this tall. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a mouse hole. And it goes all the way across. It has the bottom and sides. So animals can't get up under there, try to get in there to kill the chickens. And they can run all around however far they make it.
Interesting.
And come back. Because they can feed on the natural things. And
my brother and sister-in-law got chickens for the first time this
year. Yeah. Do they live outside these chickens?
They do. Yeah. They
Are built, they protected at all?
Yeah. They built a pen. Two pens, actually. They have one with the roosters in it and the other one with the egg-laying hens. Both protected, but the one that they have the roosters in is kind of cool because he built it on wheels, so he can wheel it around. He can have them, you know, graze in one area and then wheel it around somewhere else. So kind of like this movable little house. But it's funny because they have these chickens now, and they're like, "Will you come kill them for us?" Because they want to eat them, right? Like, they want to eat them. Because
they're becoming friends with the chickens.
Yeah, well,
that's hilarious.
I don't think they're going to, you know, whack the egg-laying hens, right? Because they want the eggs.
That is funny. But,
like, I think they have too many roosters, and they're like, I think they got four.
I mean, if you do this job, do you get a free chicken?
Yeah, I mean, like,
because that would be awesome.
I expect to, like, eat
organic.
That night, you know what I mean?
That's organic.
So like I'm like, yeah, I'll come over and take care of your chicken for you.
What are you going to use?
Huh?
A hatchet?
Yeah, probably.
So my grandma told me the story a long time ago. And she said when she was young, you know, they lived off chickens they raised, and she said, I have to chop the head off the chicken, and the poor thing would run around with no head, blah, 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 blah.
That's where that saying came
from. I was like, man.
My grandma had the same stories though.
So funny.
It's funny. That happened a lot. I'm like, yeah, it's not, you know, it is what it is.
Then there was Uncle Vinny. And one time we asked him, Uncle Vinny, how's it going? He goes, the chicken's mighty good. We had like a fry out in our backyard. You remember my backyard? Chicken's mighty good. I'm going to find that clip. We're going to add Uncle Vinny into the show from now on. The chicken's mighty good. It was so funny.
That'll be fun. It's another kind of topic I just thought about real quick. Mutant deer.
Ooh, so interesting.
I've been seeing on camera some really funky deer, right?
Mutant deer. It's like Halloween.
Like some bucks that literally they're 6 points. They would count as a 6 point because they're how big their tines are, but they're no bigger, like their antlers on either side are no bigger than my hands.
Yeah, that's
right. Weird. Like, and they look like an old deer. So, and there's like a couple of them rolling around. So I'm guessing related, but then like, do you take them out of the gene pool? I don't really want to burn a tag on that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's also like, I also don't want to perpetuate that type of antler growth. Mm-hmm. Like there's a funky 7 point. I don't know if you've seen on camera too, but there's some interesting stuff going on the lease right now. I don't know what they're take getting a peek into. Here. Oh, it's pretty interesting. So that's the question is like, you know, everybody's like, oh yeah, you got to take that out of the gene pool. And I'm like, I get it, but do I waste a tag?
Yeah, here they are, small.
You know?
Very small.
Yeah, that's the one.
A lot of deer tonight. It's nice and chilly out, dude. Okay, well, this is a good conversation. You know, Tim talks about the data and statistics behind Moultrie cameras. Right here, it's not a full moon, 39 degrees.
Yep, perfect.
Wow, it dropped dramatically.
There's a frost warning, I think, or a freeze warning there.
Wow.
Tonight. Which is good.
These deer,
what would
these deer
you do?
Are everywhere.
So
dude.
Looking at
these
that
deer
one,
are everywhere.
What would you do?
I'm not shooting that deer. I don't believe in that. Listen, if I own the land, if it was our land and we were keeping this land for 100 years, I would definitely consider some moves like that.
Yeah.
But since it's not, I got limited tags. I don't want to spend all this money. I don't need all that meat. I'm definitely not interested. I'd rather shoot in these giant does, dude. There's so many big does out here.
Huge does. I've not seen any small does on our property at all.
Look at this. There's a picture. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 in this picture, dude.
Yep.
That's crazy. Is that the field? That's where I'm hunting.
Yeah, that's the power lines.
Wow.
But here's that looks to be a funky.
Where's the big buck at? I know he's around.
He was in last night.
Oh, there he is.
He went from the apple tree down to
yeah, you're right.
Power lines.
That's it. Yeah. They come in late at night here, too.
So I'm saying.
This is an interesting place. This is our first year hunting this new lease, so we're not really sure what we're doing. That's why these cameras are so helpful. And to be honest, I was impressed the cameras worked where they work.
That apple
you know?
Tree is
oh,
big money.
There he is. That's nice. That's a nice buck, yeah. Dude. Oh, look at him. He's pretty wide.
I think that's only a 6, though.
Yeah, hopefully he comes in, though.
But he's a big 6.
He might be coming skirting these cameras, too. You don't know. He's a nice
But guy. Here's that, like...
I mean, and this is nice for Michigan, guys.
Look
so
at that
keep
funky
that.
Rack. Right,
yeah,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
crab
6, 7. Like, it's weird. But yeah, there's some funky deer out there.
Yeah, it's so, but it's, you know, as it gets chillier, you start to see the deer move and, you know, it's kind of cool.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, 8:30 p.m.
Yeah, I think we'll have I think we'll definitely see deer there. Maybe not the first night, but.
Yeah, because we are going to be making some noise, but yeah. Hopefully it's not. And then Corey's going crazy up there.
Is he? Oh, yeah.
There's bear everywhere in the UP.
No, there's still bear everywhere.
I mean, they are just everywhere.
Is it still, is it the second season for bear right now?
It must be. Yeah. Yeah, it must be. Let's see what's going on at Kevin's here.
I haven't seen much there.
Did you see this one picture, though? It's funny. That is a great photo. Hey, guys. It's just staring at the... There was the biggest beehive there, man. Biggest beehive. Yeah. It was in the ground. One of those.
Oh, those. Yeah. One of the ones that went in there, like the yellow jacket.
Oh, my gosh. That was scary, man. They were like a cloud.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's scary. I had to do some damage control to those guys at night, but that was creepy, man. There's not a ton of deer moving here, you know. These cameras are so helpful, guys. I'm going to be honest with you.
Look at that one.
Is that
funky?
Your ears?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's messed up. The horns like coming out of the side of the thing.
It's like a unicorn almost. Anyway.
These deer are actually eating what I planted there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the food plot.
I put a food plot in, but I didn't do much to the ground. I did what Kevin told me. He told me, take the tractor. Oh, there's a buck right there. That's a buck.
Oh, yeah, it's
not huge, but anyway, he said, take the tractor, lower as low as it goes and just blaze the ground and then keep riding around circle, then just throw the stuff down. And it grew. I couldn't believe it.
That's awesome.
I was like, okay, I'm down. That's worked good.
So I think that's what, you know, I think that's what mentally I'm expecting right now is evening hunt is going to be the best. I think that's what we're seeing on camera, kind of that late day to evening. Mornings, I'm not, you know, I don't think we're going to see much, but we're also not going to be there. Good news is we'll know if we made the right choice or the wrong choice because we have cameras out there.
Yep.
So that's always nice. But I think that's really what I'm expecting. My goal this time around is big doe or buck. I don't care which. Want to get some meat in the freezer? I'll take a buck if it's nice. Take a big doe when they come out, and then we'll see about the bucks after that.
Leads us to a commercial break, guys. Let's take our commercial break. We're going to come back, and then Tim and I got two more important topics we want to cover, and we'll see you soon. We'll be right back. I don't know why I said
after this.
It's really weird, but all right, let me just do one of these so I kind of find myself here and my clip, my cut. Okay. All right, Tim.
We're back.
Weather change. That was the one thing I want to talk about.
The weather dramatically
changed here in Michigan. We went from 90 degrees the other day to 60 today.
We went from 60 at night to like in the 30s.
Yeah, too. This is going to be amazing. Tim and I are actually going hunting this weekend. We're very excited just to get up north. You know, it's actually interesting. I took some vacation time too. I forgot to tell you that. So I'm going to be going tomorrow, but I might take my motorcycle. I was like, you know, maybe because, you know, I can't hunt here there anyway. So I'm like, maybe I'll just like ride all day, you know.
That'll be a good day to ride around.
Yeah. So I'm thinking like fall leaves falling. It's easy to get my bike in and out of the truck now. I got like a nice ramp and I have like a thing. And I'm thinking, what else am I going to do?
Oh, you have a new ramp?
I have the other ramp. No, I bought an extension.
Yeah. Come on.
I don't want
to. Come on. Tell us the story real quick.
So we.
This isn't a stick. It's a climbing tool. Purpose-built, field-proven, ridiculously capable. Meet Hydro, the new standard in micro-light climbing performance. Engineered for hunters who climb smarter, faster, and farther, Hydro is equipped with the XR2 rope system, a lightning-fast, rock-solid attachment that thrives in both traditional and technical climbing setups. The wide V bracket, paired with Axis teeth, locks into any tree type with total confidence, minimizing kickout, maximizing control. Fast up, solid down, no wasted energy. Built from our proprietary I7 alloy, Hydro delivers insane strength with minimal weight. An ergonomic handle gives you more comfort on long ascents, and integrated attachment points let you customize with aiders to match your climb style. Each Hydro comes standard with the Reactor 3-step aider, ready to run straight out of the box. Minimal, modular, mission ready. Whether it's the first stick on the tree or the last one down, Hydro is built to perform.
I I brought one of the four wheelers home because I was like, you know, I go, we need a storage where we hunt up there. We don't need it there right now. We need the storage. We need to get it out of the way. And I thought if I bring it home, I use it for snow and other stuff. So I'm like, you know, and I can use that the closer lot if I wanted. So I was like, okay. So I loaded in the truck and I have a ramp for it there. And I left the ramp there because I thought I don't need the ramp here because I have a motorcycle ramp that's 3 wide that you can ride up and you can put your feet down while you go up the ramp, right? But I didn't realize it wouldn't be wide enough for the four-wheeler tire base. So when I went to take it down, I was like, oh, crap, that doesn't actually fit. Had to run to Harbor Freight and buy a whole nother side ramp, which Tim has two of them that up are up the north. Yeah, yeah. So I was like, wow, now we have three of those and two giant ramps.
He calls it. I bring it up because he calls me just pissed. You know, he left early in the morning to get home to have a nice Sunday, and then all of a sudden he's got to deal with that. And this is, I was laughing a little bit, but I could feel your frustration.
Well, I'm sitting there thinking, how am I going to get down? I'm looking at like 2x6s. I'm trying to figure out like ways to
I might have just left it in there until this
I
week.
I thought about it too. I did think about that. It came to mind. I was like, well, maybe I'll leave it out there and just take it back up. And I go, but then I can't take my motorcycle. And so I'm like, oh God, this is like getting trickier than I'd like. But anyway, the weather change has been awesome. It's really nice to have that feeling. If you're a true outdoor hunter and you know that feeling once it comes on, not only do you know that feeling, you start to get in the mail some of the goodies from Bass Pro, Cabela's. You get those books in the mail. We get things like this in the mail here. Yep. This Field & Stream books they send us. These are really cool, guys. I don't know if you've seen this.
The season.
They have the new cover. Then they have the original cover on the back, which is really exciting. So this is Field & Stream, the magazine. This is the original magazine. It has nothing to do with the store. This is they kept the name for the magazine, this company. But these are beautiful books. And they sent us this for free for the podcast for us to look through and show you guys. And so thank you to Field & Stream for sending these to us. But they're absolutely really stunning.
I mean, they're pieces of art.
They are. And that's why I like it for the studio. It gives us more stuff to talk about. But here's the cover of this one. And then here was the old cover from 1938. So you can see they mimic it. It's kind of cool. But then I just love it. I love it. It's so cool. 15 cents back then. Today, this is probably a lot more. Back then,
oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Because that was the original covers.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Shout out to, what's that magazine we have in Michigan that's really cool?
Woods and Waters.
Yeah, Woods and Waters is the one I'm thinking, but that they have the magazine. It's a really cool, long, wide magazine. If you're in Michigan, I think other states, though, too, have it, too.
Yeah.
But anyways, you should always get one because they have a lot of the local things of outdoors going on, and it really fits the mold for outdoor podcasts because it has a lot of outdoor stuff, fishing and all that great stuff. In fact, we need to do more fishing talk on here, Tim.
I think.
We need to get
John. I need to do more fishing.
Yeah, you need to bring John in for that. John and Jamie, maybe, or maybe just Joe, John. And,
maybe.
Yeah, I'm not the guy to have in for that one, but, you know. Maybe some cedar time would be good to talk fishing because he knows his stuff.
Heck yeah.
All right.
You got to, you know, drink your coffee quick, do your business. You got to get out there. You got to be quiet. It's freezing out. I'm tired and I'll take the evening hunt any day.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Any day. What about you?
I'm a little bit of a mix. I like the idea of the morning hunt because I can go out and if it works out, I got really good lighting for video. Usually if it's right around 8 a.m., I got a deer down, I can see where it goes. The blood's easy to track as daylight. But the best part about it for me is after that, I get to celebrate and skip the night hunt instead of go back out. Cause then I'm like, I can have dinner and I have to rush anywhere. And I just wait for the guys to come back and have some beers. But I will say this.
Wait, morning beers?
I mean, evening, because you guys would be hunting and I probably wouldn't be, because now some people would probably go back out with a second tag, but we don't really generally do that in our team. But anyway, the other thing is, though, sometimes, like what happened to me in 2020 was I went out to hunt the evening hunt. I got there at 4:15, sat down, and a deer was standing there, a buck, and I shot it at 4. Maybe it was 5 o'clock, whatever, but I ended up getting that deer by 5:30, tracking it, gutting it, and everything by 5:30. Yeah. And it was still plenty of daylight. It was awesome. It was such a great experience. And that would be another way I like it. What I hate about the night hunt is when you shoot it and it's late like that, and you, let's say you track it to the field like we usually do and gut it in the field, you got to have the truck lights on, everything, you know, to see anything. Yep. You have to have all this exterior lighting on.
You got to find it too, which, you know.
It could be, and the night hunts are crazy because a deer could literally be standing or sitting like just 10 yards away. It's just so dark, you can't see it laying there, right? Yep. Which is daytime, you can see it across the field 100 yards. So that is definitely, I heard there's a rule, and I don't know this to be fact or fiction or what, but something about you can't track a deer at night anymore, or you never could. Yeah, I don't know the rule. In Michigan specifically. I don't know. I don't think you can. I think there's some rule. I could swear.
Like after dark?
Yes.
No way.
Just Google it. I don't know. I don't know that we're going to find out.
I mean, this, take it for what it's worth. This is Google AI. It says, yes, in Michigan, you can use artificial lights and a leashed dog to track a wounded deer at night.
Any specific
but you kind? Must be the licensed tag holder, and the dog cannot bark on public lands.
Okay. So I guess, again, that's Google. You know, definitely check your manual.
Yeah.
But your digest, I mean, or whatever it's called.
For yeah. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of rules when you're on public.
So maybe the people I heard talking about were from a different state. This could have, it could be what it was.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a podcast or something.
Yep. Got to be it. But I mean, that would kind of suck. I would never do a night hunt again if I couldn't go out and get it.
Yeah, I agree.
I've lost deer to coyotes. I'm not letting it sit if I can help it.
Lastly, before we go, guys, I just want to throw in a couple things. Bow launches are coming up. We just saw Bear Archery launch their stuff, which is really cool. They did the Redeem as their main bow.
Pretty cool.
Looks really nice. It's going to have a lot of power. Now, Matthews is coming soon. I actually got word from them. They are sending the promo one for us to take a look at before launch. So it should be sometime in November as usual for them. I haven't heard from Hoyt yet, but generally Hoyt gets a hold of me in November each year. And I do know Martin's working on something. They did reach out. Yep. Martin's got some stuff going on and did not hear back from Elite. Did not hear back from PSE just yet. I did reach out to all of those. Yeah. So anyway, so I think we're going to see, and I haven't heard from Bowtech. I did reach out from them as well. But so I think we will see, at least in our show and our Bowhunter Planet series, we will see the Matthews and the Hoyt most likely. I don't know yet if we'll see Bowtech on the show or PSC, or we'll definitely see Martin as well. They've been really good to us and being a part of APA, you'll see as well coming up. So it's just hard. You never know who wants to take part in it, not take part in it each year. You have to like recall
the timing people. Is, you know, they got to get the timing right for shipping. And
that's it's very messy. I'm not going to lie. If you're not ahead of it, way ahead of it, it gets very messy. Even Bear this year, we didn't get all the bows right away. Normally get them all right away. It just, they just couldn't build them quick enough. And you know, that's just how it goes sometimes, that when they start to get lean in manufacturing. And so,
well, speaking about going, we'll see you next time here on the Outdoor Podcast.